Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, our second show in January of 2018. Have you made any mistakes on your checkbook yet?
Checkbook? I every time I write something, I write blog posts every day for clients. I keep on putting, January 4th, 2017. And I don't see it till the next day usually when I go back to write something else.
I have not made the mistake once.
Really?
And I noticed this. You know, people say, you should make this mistake. At some point in your 60s, you never make the mistake. You never make that mistake.
Is it that you're maybe just not writing as many checks?
Well, there's always that. But I wrote a check on January 2nd and I immediately wrote down the exact right date.
Hmm.
And I haven't made the mistake yet.
That's impressive.
I think this is what, where it heads. Everybody likes to, I think you get more thoughtful or something. I'm not sure. It's when you're young, you make that mistake a lot.
Maybe you're just moving a lot slower.
I'm moving at snail's pace.
So what's happening is you have time to actually think, whereas us young fellas are just
you got to rush. Always in a hurry.
Buzzing along. Well, that's good. What else is anything else new for the? You on a diet or something, or did you make some resolutions that you already failed with, or anything?
That's another thing. It's funny you should bring it up. When you're in your 60s. You stop with that bull crap. You know it's a waste of time.
Yeah, you finally get to the fact, I'm going to make promises to myself. And just
whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, I think it's a smart thing. I always like to drive by the gyms, LA Fitness or whatever, this time of year to see all the cars. It's overflowing with cars.
And then, that's true. This is the time to go long on gyms.
Yeah, or Weight Watchers or, any of these diet companies. And then sometime in about, I guess, maybe March, you see it thinning out pretty well.
Yeah.
And that there's no longer any weight to get in there and the cars and all that. And then by June, everybody's the hell with it.
It's funny. I went into a store today in Berkeley Bowl. And there's a guy out in front in a little booth, like he had set up shop on the sidewalk. And he's asking everybody who goes by, would you like a free month gym membership?
No such thing.
He's asking one person after another. I go by, he says nothing.
Too far gone, huh?
And then when I'm coming back, though, since it was a little more sparse, he says something to me. And my comment was, I could sure use one. I just kept walking. But
it's not going to be free.
Rude. It was rude.
It's not going to be free. You're going to be sucked into, you get.
Oh, yeah. No, I know this game. I'm not like, if I'm going to, I'll go buy a machine and put it in the house.
That Peloton bicycle looks really cool.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Yeah.
I think it's cool. I mean, I wouldn't buy it for $3,000 plus the monthly.
They're
five
too expensive.
Grand, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could, my wife always says, this year we're going to get one of those ellipticals. So when I was married many years ago, and I was kind of going along with these things, I'm like, okay, we'll get you, we'll get you one of those indoor bicycle things. We'll get you the elliptical.
Is that the one where you're doing all this elliptical thing? Is that the one that has the woman with the nice, with the firm butt, and they keep zooming in and out of her? It's made by one of these operations.
I mean, an elliptical is just one of those stair climber things. It looks like you're
yeah, but you can go all kinds of different angles, and it looks like fun, actually.
Well, all I know is they become clothing hangers.
Of course. Yes.
That's all they are. Where's my brown sports jacket? It's hanging on the bicycle in the other room.
Yeah.
Where everything ends up. Anyway, let's talk about the markets. We had a pretty strong, not only pretty strong, an amazingly strong start to the new year. One of the strongest since, I think, 1987. We had a 5-day winning streak recently.
And 1987, of course, was the same year where we had an outrageous flash crash.
Yep. 20% in one day. I was there. I remember that. I didn't have any money in the market, but I watched all these people go bananas.
Yeah. I knew people that were freaked out. They're in lines at the bank thinking it was the end of the world.
People going just crazy. And then it only took a few days to kind of pop back a little bit, but people are just out of their minds. But the Dow passed 25,000 for the first time. We got to get our Dow 25,000 hats on. The S&P 500 passed 2,700. The NASDAQ's above 7,000. So this is just a carryover of what we've seen over the last, you know, several months.
Yep.
The anticipation of the tax bill and lower regulation and all this. Now, it's interesting to note that even with some disappointing news on the employment front, that markets kind of just blew it off. On Friday, we had the official NFP payroll report showing that we saw a net gain of 145,000 new hires on the payroll. And expectations were like, you know, 185, 190,000, especially because a couple of days before we saw the ADP numbers and they were over 200.
Right.
And so at first, you know, the markets were kind of the futures were doing okay through the morning up until this at 8:30 in the morning. They dropped down like 3 points. They were still up. They were still green. They dropped down a little bit. And then that was it. The dinner bell rang at 9:30 and everybody started eating, just buying stocks throughout the whole day. So
yeah.
What's interesting was a couple of things from that report. We saw that average hourly earnings were 0.3% higher. That was expected. A little bit better than been just to a touch. And that doesn't seem like a big number, but if you compound that and you think of it, that's, you know, wages are going the right direction. At least they're not going down. And the employment rate was 4.1%. But here's what I picked out of this. I did some work on looking at the historical NFP payrolls that come out on a monthly basis, the official jobs report, how many new jobs were added. And I just wanted to see a simple moving average and the direction of the longer term trend of what's happening. And I was kind of surprised, actually. There's a chart over there that you can see.
This the NFP payrolls?
Yep. These charts are available on DH Unplugged. You'll see them on the show notes, by the way. You just go to episode number 390. So, but notice, do you notice the red line, which is the 6 month moving average? It's sloping down.
Yeah, I wish we would have this go back further.
I can go back as far as you want. I'll update this for you. Can't do it on the fly at the moment.
No, it's fine.
But
I'd like to go back another 20 years, actually.
But I thought it was interesting how it's just ever so slightly sloping down since, would you say, about what, September of 2014?
Yep, exactly.
And what does that mean? It means that, you know, we're still getting jobs growth. I think you pegged the number at, what was it, 150,000 as the neutral point?
That's the last neutral point I was given, yes, 150.
So, you know, we're seeing that this is slowly but surely coming down. I think this is a sign that we are at relatively full employment, even though the Fed, you know, is fetching all the time that there's slack in the labor markets. But I think we're kind
of... Yeah, I was looking at my tent city, by the way. I went out today, floated around, and I see the tent city has doubled in size.
Really?
That's only one tent city. I mean, I look at about five of them.
You want to get them out of there? You need to go in there one day and just do a seminar on trading Bitcoin. You'll probably make some millionaires out of a few of those, and they'll just bigger tents. Maybe they'll make an apartment tent of some sort and be landlord. You know,
I'm surprised we don't have more community tents.
Like the
have a tent city. I didn't know this is a new one. I don't want to go on to the tent cities, but there's a new tent city, or maybe it's been there for a while. I haven't been by it, which is the Berkeley City Hall, the old classic Berkeley City Hall, right there on Martin Luther King. And it is got a tent city on the lawn.
So everybody that goes in there has to pass this tent city every day?
Yeah. Although actually most of the action's in another building nearby, but you still have to see this tent city. And the tent city, in fact, I don't even know if they use this Berkeley City Hall anymore. If that's the case, you should open it up and let the tent city move inside. But anyway, there's a big giant sign outside that says, first they came for the homeless. You know, that reference to the first they came to this, and then they came for me. It's just like, I don't know how they can, you know, they've actually blocked up.
Is it legal just to squat on public property?
No, but they don't know what to do about it because there's not enough room in the prisons. This is befuddling, especially on the West Coast where everyone's a liberal. And they think these people should be, you know, I don't know what they think, to be honest about. But they don't think it's a good idea to, like, roust them and throw them in jail for no good reason. And because they're just, you know, people are starving to death. It's ridiculous.
All these wealthy people in your neck of the woods, and there's a lot of them, right?
There's tons.
Can't they just, you know how they do adopt a highway or something? Can't they adopt a homeless? Seriously.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a funny gag. I agree. But it's a lot of these people are not really amenable to that sort of thing.
They're not charitable. It's all for them.
No, no, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the homeless.
Oh, they want to stay homeless.
I don't say that. I don't think they want to stay homeless, but they don't necessarily want to move into some rich guy and be told what to do. They'd end up cleaning the toilets.
Well, it may be better to clean the toilets in a beautiful home. You know, have you ever watched the Larry David show? He's got somebody living with him.
Yeah, the Larry David show exemplifies a lot of this.
Right, right. You got Leon living with him.
Yeah, Leon and his other friends.
Yeah, and everybody that comes in. just to kind of forward up on the markets here, your discussion about the inevitable bond crash, which, by the way, I get emails on that. I get email questions on that quite often.
Yeah, what are they asking you?
You know, they start out with something like, you know, hey, I was listening to Dvorak's, you know, his prediction about the bond market collapse and the cycles. What do I have to say about it? And, you know, is this going to happen imminently? And, you know, what should I do?
Hey, if we knew it was going to happen when it was going right. to happen, we'd be a little better at the show.
Right. But Bill Gross says, in quotes, bond bear market is confirmed. He's the bond king. He said this in a Twitter posting. Why Twitter isn't so much more popular and, you know, with advertisers is beyond me because everybody seems to use it as a platform for saying stuff.
Yeah, they do.
You know, it's kind of like replaced the old APPR process.
I think Bill Gross is one of the first guys who came out and said there was going to be a bond crash years ago.
Yeah, he made a lot of money for PIMCO. I mean, he had the largest mutual fund out there, and then he was kind of shifted out, pushed out, so it seems. But the big thing was he noted that the 25-year trend line has been broken in 5- and 10-year Treasury maturities. And now the 10-year is above 2.5% for the first time since February of 2017. Doesn't seem like a long time ago. But still, you know, we kind of came in pretty hard and bonds were being bought like crazy. Now that the economy is doing better, now that the Fed is going to, continue their rate hike process, I think people maybe, it's possible, you know, we've seen this before, but it's possible that maybe this is going to be the break in the bonds that we've been looking for.
Yeah, it might be already have happened for all we know. It just hasn't taken hold yet or something. I don't know what I'm not fully understanding that what's going on and why it's going the way it's going.
Well,
so
I think it's the central banks. I mean, Japan did signal they're going to slow down on the stimulus and their buying of Japan bonds. And Mario Draghi last week hinted that they're going to slow down. We know that our Fed has been talking about slowing down on the bond purchases. And so, I mean, they want to try to, well, they're not really wanting to normalize because they have such large asset blocks of these bonds, but I think they're against a wall now, especially because they, this is an interesting conversation about the whole inflation targeting, where they have a 2% inflation target here. Japan has a 2% inflation target. Everybody's a 2%, this arbitrary number.
And why was this number picked?
Nobody knows. It was just some number that they're all sticking with and saying, this is the number. I don't think there was a great deal of research done, but
no,
you know, and they keep on trying to get to this by methods that don't work. That's the funny thing. So, anyway, all right. Now I want to hear from you about, you must've heard some cool things about what the goings on over at the Consumer Electronics Show that's going on right now.
Well, it looks like they're going to have a lot of, driverless car technologies battling for attention. That's the main thing that I kind of cared about. My wife was talking to me about some crazy like chips for underwear and some outrageous tech that is like just the eye rolling. And there's a lot of that. I'm not going, of course. I haven't gone for the last couple of years, and I don't really like going. I don't consider it a very valuable show for me. It's kind of valuable because I end up going and listening to the cool new stereo speakers and, you know, things like that. And I get to see some gizmos that are kind of interesting and see if I can get a free copy. But overall, it's like I don't get as much out of it as I as the effort you have to put into being in Vegas for this, even one or two days, it's a hassle.
And it's enormous.
Oh, it's ridiculous. You get really sore walking.
Oh, man.
A sore back by walking. You get a, you just, it's a horrible show. It's a horrible show.
I'm trying to think what I heard about. There was.
Have you ever been to it?
I was at it many years ago. I think I was at it once or twice. And I was, I think it was 2000. It was, you know, I'll tell you exactly when it was. It was the year of the Hanging Chad. What year was that?
That was 2000.
That was year 2000. And the reason why I know this, let me tell you this quick story. So the reason I know this was that I was invited to be on CNBC to report from what I saw at CES. And
well, this was just the very end of that market. I mean, that was you walked. That was the .com collapse took place right after you were your invite.
So I'm there on the show. I'm on the set. I'm all made up, and they do your hair.
Well, you're actually on the set.
I'm on the set.
That's
There's a
nice.
Countdown coming for this to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
And right before they go to the segment, breaking news. Okay, I'm up in New York. Breaking news. We have some information about the election in Florida and the Hanging Chads. And for 20 minutes, they talk about that. They cut me out entirely. I just
you left on the cutting room floor because of the Hanging Chad.
I just sat there. I just sat there like an idiot. But I was at Bloomberg that week and another show. I was at like three or four different shows when I was there that time. But that's some of the last times that I decided to do TV. Not interested.
I have this thesis about, you know, a lot of people just are TV whores. They're always on everything. But in the way I see, unless you have a book to sell or something that people can immediately say, gee, I like that guy. I'm going to buy something from him. Unless there's something, I mean, that's what the movie thing is. You have all these stars go around right just before their movie comes out. Book, same thing. Or anything if you have something to sell. But if you don't have anything to sell, why don't you just save it?
Yeah, I mean, and the other problem is that you're on for such a small segment. It's usually a couple of people
on there.
Usually
a couple minutes max.
And if you're not aggressive, you're not going to get to talk.
Yeah, you have to be aggressive. With that, you can learn.
Right. I can be aggressive, but.
You can learn. Just you have to be kind of an a-hole. You have to interrupt. You have to jump right in.
Right. I'm not interested in, I mean, maybe one day I'll go back to doing some TV. I've done some, you know, spots down here where they do a remote. You know, I've done a bunch of that, but you know, again, it's just, you know, you have a 2 minute block to talk. And if somebody happens to walk to the bathroom and people are getting in their car or something, they don't see you.
Yeah.
You know? So, well, here's some big news. I'm thinking about changing I want to ask your opinion on this. I'm thinking about changing the show name to the DHAI blockchain cryptocurrency show.
Oh, they will have thousands and thousands of new listeners.
I mean, overnight success.
Yeah. The cryptocurrency blockchain show.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's dynamite idea.
Every gathering I've been to. Oh, by the way, I went to the Heat Knicks game on Friday night. I was invited to the Southwest Airlines box.
Oh, nice.
This was the nicest box I've ever been in. This was.
What other boxes have you been in?
I've been in at the Miami Stadium for the Dolphins a couple of different times. I've been to the BB&T, which is where the Panthers play.
You've been doing enough of them to make a judgment. Yeah. What's so great about this one?
First of all, it was nice and clean and nice. Most of them are very nice and clean. But the way they did this was, it wasn't that there was an outside walkway and you walk into like this room and then you got a couple of seats over there and you're blocked off left and right from everybody. Okay. Instead, the walkway to get around the arena was kind of in the middle. On the right-hand side, on the outside of the building, if you will, were where you walked into the suites. So you had all this room when you walked to the left where your seats were. There was all, you know, and it was kind of like this is a beautiful area with the seats. The when you walked inside of the suite, not to mention there was a full refrigerator full of anything you wanted and filet mignon and meats and things and all that was you know, being served. You could actually walk outside. There was a balcony out there that was overlooking the Miami River.
Oh, you mean outside the back, that toward the stadium?
Right. So if you think about, it was the outside of the stadium, there's a balcony outside the suite.
So you can get away from the game completely?
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But could you get, when you're in, could you get, the Giants has the best suites I've ever been to. AT&T Park used to be called, I don't know what they call it, but where the Giants play, the baseball team. And they have, what I like about it is the suite is, you know, a suite, it's got all the amenities. It's got the refrigerators. It's got the people coming in and out, taking orders. But you can walk out onto like a whole level of the stadium where the seats are still private. You can't get into the suite from there, but you walk out of the suite into the stands forward, but it's still blocked off. It's almost like that little layer that's at Dodger Stadium. It's very nice because you get there.
That's how this is.
For
example, when I was at Panther Stadium, you're inside the seats. The only way to get to the seats is through the door of the suite. So you have to go through the suite and go through there, and you're kind of locked in. Left and right, there's walls, so you're a little bit, you know, it's not as open.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a combination of this over at the Giants because you still have to, you can only get in through that one door.
Yep. But what I was saying is every 100%. Gathering I've been to lately, every party I've been to, everybody's talking about, you know, somewhere in a corner or whatever, a conversation breaks out about Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies or blockchain and, you know, like it's free money from heaven. I have people calling me that never called me for business items. Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, this is a bad sign, you know.
Andrew, what do you think of, should I be buying some of this? I had a guy, my friend Mike the Mover. I have several guys named Mike as friends, so they all have labels. Mike the next door neighbor, Mike the mover, Mike the handyman. I got a bunch of guys. Okay, that's how I have them in my phone. But Mike the mover called me, and he said, hey, I got some money sitting on the side. I'm looking to open a new business. I got kind of 3 or 4 months. Everybody's telling me if I just put money into this stuff, it will double by then. I'll be doing fine. I said, he goes, I don't want to do it. I'm like, I'm not counseling you to do it. But, you know, if you want to do it, you know, understand there's severe risk in this. But it's coming from all sides. So,
yeah.
And not to mention the media picked it up pretty well, too. But we got a lot more things to talk about on this because there's some crazy things going on in the crypto space, which we'll talk about. The FCC, back to, I think it was at CES, the Fed Communications Commission, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai. He canceled his scheduled appearance after receiving death threats. Now, I guess it's because of maybe the net neutrality. People are getting.
Yeah, that's how serious they take this. It's no laughing matter to him.
What could any individual be so disturbed about?
They're just disturbed. Haven't you noticed this? The public has gotten very disturbed of late.
I was speaking to one person about net neutrality, and they said, you know, this net neutrality, oh, that's where the government and the companies can like listen in and take over your internet. I'm like, what? What? Yeah, that's what they think.
That's what they think. I'm telling you, it's gone nuts. It's gone berserk. We do the best job we can as podcasters, which is the lowest rung on the social networking scale, to keep people informed, but apparently not enough people listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Or they listen to the wrong ones.
It's crazy. Next, they'll be, you know, thinking that, you know, podcasts can hack your computer somehow and we can get in to reverse engineer and listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, we listen through the screen.
Right, we can listen to that. We can see you. We can see you right now. Hey, don't pick your nose, buddy. Anyway, CPI and PPI are out this week. So the consumer price index. First comes PPI, which is the producer price index, which is the wholesale numbers. And then from there, what, you know, the manufacturing numbers and what the input costs are, and then comes out a couple of days later, the CPI. So expectations are showing that, and from what I can see from all the research, that there's a slight expectation that it's going to come in a little hot because we have the U.S. dollar remaining weak and we have energy prices. I mean, I think crude oil closed at 63 and change today.
Yikes.
So that's up from like 45, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Now, the Fed will probably look at this as being transitory. Yeah, they use that word.
Or blame it on the weather.
Yeah, the weather and all that.
By the way, this year's weather is going to be great for the next quarter because they're going to be able to blame everything on it.
Yeah, and that cold weather snap, we saw one of the best moves on natural gas in I don't even know how long. Massive move on natural gas, which, you know, will reverse once the weather warms up.
Yeah, I would hope.
But I would think we're going to start seeing, I would think we should start seeing a bit more inflationary pressures. And if we don't, by the way, something is really amiss. Because you have wage growth going on. You have individuals getting bonuses. Yeah, you have companies pushing more money into 401ks because of the tax law. There's wage hikes going on across the board with people. There's going to be better, supposedly better, and lower tax rates. You have consumer sentiment really high. People should be buying stuff. And if they're and if that is the case, and we see retail sales pick up and all that, and we don't see inflation, something else is really going on. That's either they're lying about the numbers, or there's a fundamental and a core issue that's not going to be fixed.
I didn't even think about it that way, but yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know why we're so all, you know, worked up about inflation, except for the fact that if we have low inflation and continued and consistently sub 2%, everybody's excited because they believe that the Fed will continue to pump money in the system, and that makes them all excited. It would seem to me that we want to have more inflation. We want to have more earnings power to a degree. And if we have to slow down the economy a little bit because it's getting too hot, which it is by most measures, then just do so. As a matter of fact, if you look at what's going on with the consumer, we saw that in November, because it's the latest number that we see, was that credit card debt hit a new record. So this is the revolving credit, the credit cards, possibly auto loans, things like that. But revolving credit cards, and specifically and main thing of credit cards on the revolving side, increased by $11.2 billion in the month of November to $1.023 trillion. And that's past the high watermark that was reached in April of 2008. I find it fascinating that we keep on getting back to some of these dates where... Oh. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah. Another thing I didn't notice.
Right. I mean, we keep getting back to these dates, and I find it very odd. Like, yeah, you can say, oh, every time, you know, I don't know about you, but if you, every time you hear something like, 9/11, you're like, oh, you know, oh.
Right.
You hear it 2008, or you hear October 1987, you're like, oh. But we keep getting back to these dates, and I don't think there's any coincidence here that it's just that we got there. I think there is a lot of significance in the fact that we are now so far beyond, and we have such a low interest rate, and we have tax reform or cuts coming in. So I there's something that's kind of getting me a little bit on edge here. Let's put it that way.
I would, now that you mention it.
Listen, we're not going to get crazy about it, but I mean, if inflation gets hot like it is in Venezuela, which last year was officially finished the year at 2,616%. The inflation in December alone in Venezuela was greater than...
Venezuela's a wreck.
Yeah. But their inflation rate and their move in inflation just in the month of December was greater than the accumulated inflation over the whole year for all of Latin America. And who says communism doesn't work?
Well, it was working fine for a couple of years. Doesn't seem to be working anymore.
Not especially if they're relying on natural resources. They'll do better now. They're also coming out with their own coin, supposedly. Some kind of a asset-backed coin, which everybody's like, "What? You're doing what?"
Yeah. Every time anyone does that, the big banks go after them.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about how crazy the crypto space is going. I pulled up a few of the things that happened this week that I find just bizarre. Okay. So with the closing and the cryptocurrency space with regard to South Korea, they are nutso. I mean, like crazy. The values of a currency on a Korean exchange is significantly higher than every other exchange because they push these prices up considerably. They started closing these down, and all of a sudden there was a flood of new accounts being opened in these alt currencies, these altcoin spaces like companies Bittrex, Bitfinex, Binance, Kraken, Poloniex, all these, okay? I probably pronounced that last one wrong. I can never get it right. So here's what's going on. Binance, which is one of the bigger ones, announced they're temporarily suspending the opening of new accounts due to overwhelming demand that has put too much stress on their system. Bittrex did the same thing last month. Now, what's really crazy, this is where it gets really crazy, all right? The demand is so strong to get into Binance that a black market has opened up where people are selling their Binance accounts to the highest bidder. Can you imagine having a Schwab account and somebody wanting to buy it from you because they can't get in?
Wow. That's not nutso. I don't know what is.
That is way off the charts. I don't personally have a Binance. I have a Bittrex account and have a couple other ones. But I never got Binance. I was thinking about doing it. I'm like, I'm not doing it. One of the reasons is that while that's a good site, you know, sometimes some of these sites you just can't get on. There's been denial of service attacks on these sites. There's been just slowdowns. And why would I want to, if I was going to trade something or invest something in somewhere, why would I want to have it where I'm going to get, you know, a potentially not able to get back on or on at a time that I want to? Not to mention that the pricing.
Forever.
Yeah. The pricing on these sites to trade or to transfer has gone up dramatically. Let me tell you something. These sites are making some money. And Binance even has their own coin, the Binance coin. So there's crazy stuff going on there. Now, here's some more things. Direction Asset Management is looking to launch. No, this is getting really out there. Looking to launch 5 Bitcoin ETFs that seek to double the moves of the cryptocurrency's daily futures trading. Double leverage ETFs.
Oh, my.
We'll have to put that on the list one of these days.
Wow.
Microsoft stopped supporting Bitcoin as a payment for Microsoft products. They've been doing that for some time.
They stopped taking them?
Yep. Let's see here. Jamie Dimon says he regrets calling Bitcoin a fraud, which to me translates to JP Morgan getting into the crypto trading business.
Well, they're going to lose their ass.
Yeah. And finally, in the final nuttiness of all this, you know, we say the word blockchain / crypto coin of some sort related to a company. We know the Long Island iced tea thing, right? That whole one.
Yeah.
Today, I stopped and I sat in my chair after I saw this happen. And I'm like, this can't be happening. Because first of all, I thought the company was bankrupt. That's first of all. Okay. Eastman Kodak. Didn't you think they were bankrupt? Or was that Polaroid?
I think they've gone through bankruptcy maybe twice.
Eastman Kodak.
They're still in business. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, be out of business.
I mean, they were the place to get the film, the black and white film, especially.
Yeah, the film. All that the stuff. Black and white film, right. Especially.
Yeah. So now Eastman Kodak was up. When I looked at it initially, it was 125%. I'm thinking, oh, all right. I don't know. You know, maybe they came to market. They did a reverse split. People excited. I don't know what's going on, right? So I look at the news. They announced the launch of Kodak One image rights management platform on the blockchain and Kodak Coin, a photocentric cryptocurrency to empower photographers and agencies to take greater control in image rights management. Now, what the hell does that mean?
It means nothing, but it's a wow guy idea.
So the stock was up 217% today by the end of the day. In the regular trading hours and the after hours. It's a photocentric cryptocurrency. So let's just say that it's a cryptocurrency that could be possibly exchanged or used between various photo-minded people, you know, photographers or maybe labs or I don't know what they
it's
use.
It's vague. It's vague. Yeah.
But it empowers, look at this, it empowers photographers and agencies to take greater control in image rights management. So is this going to be something like, it will be a smart coin potentially, so that if I have the smart coin attached to this particular image, that the image can only be opened by the holder of that coin that paid it to me. So it's like a lock and key. You know, because these coins can do that.
But I guess.
But still, then you have to, the problem still remains. It is not just like you take out a dollar out of your pocket. You have to go and get the coin. Usually what you have to do is buy Ethereum. Then you have to transfer it somewhere, maybe to an Ethereum wallet.
Sounds like a hassle.
Then you have to put that into the Ethereum.
How about just using a watermark?
It's crazy. 217% today. Eastman Kodak.
What's it? What is it at now?
Let's see. $9.10. Before you say
anything, go to a million.
Yeah. Before you say anything, I'll put it on the short list for the game.
I might put it on a list too.
Yeah. GoPro, you know, the camera on the stick company.
Yeah.
It had announced that it is exiting the drone business, citing challenges of turning a profit in an extremely competitive market. Now,
you know, they were actually in technically in the drone business.
Yeah, they were. They had the Karma drone.
No, I guess it wasn't keeping up.
It's laying off hundreds of staff. The big problem was that all the Karma units were recalled in November after a fault caused the aircraft to lose power. Probably not good if you have your camera somewhere in front of you. Maybe you're using it on a boat. Maybe you're using it at a parade. Maybe you're using it at an event.
Yeah, you got a nice expensive camera on this expensive drone. And
it falls out of the sky.
Falls from the sky. Yes, that wouldn't be good.
Yep. I put a chart on there just so you can see how bad
this stock is. This chart before. It's like, wow, the short of my lifetime, I missed it.
Yep. It was at $90 back in 2015 when everybody was like, oh, man, this is great. I went fishing on Saturday, and I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll take the GoPro with me. And then I said, you know what? I'm not doing it. Turning that thing on and putting on the thing and then getting it.
I find the GoPro impossible to use.
Yeah.
You can get any number of small cameras from Canon or Nikon, you know, these pocket cameras, or even Kodak had them, that have as good a picture. They have a, you know, a 1020 or 1080p or a 16 by 9, a lot of them, the new ones have 4K.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take a 4K or whatever you want. And they're cheaper, but more importantly, they're so much easier to use. I've always found the GoPro to be incredibly inconvenient.
It is. I have the same thing. You know, it's like, all right, how do I turn on? Sometimes you click the wrong button and it becomes picture mode versus video mode. All right, that's my stupidity. I get that. It's really small and hard to use to a degree. All right, you could use your iPhone, let's say, as a connector and then do that. But the problem I have,
I think the iPhone in horizontal mode takes as good a movie as this thing.
Well, these are pretty good movies, but the problem I have is the post-editing part of it. The still, you know, with an iPhone, you click it, you do a few things, you know, you send it somewhere. Yeah. This, you have to go through a whole process of getting it off
the smart
card. Well,
it's designed for professionals. That's why it's called GoPro.
Oh.
And I think people make a mistake when they buy it. If they're not professional, they don't have an editing bay that they can spend all day in clipping videos.
Yeah. I think we changed the name of the stock to Go Broke. Probably more appropriate here.
Yeah.
All right, moving along. Sears Holding Corp. Is announcing closing 64 Kmart stores and 39 Sears locations. Actually, somebody this evening on Twitter was saying, you know what? Sears coin is next.
Oh, that'll run it up.
Yep.
That's actually not a bad call.
I still think, I know Adam and you had talked about Beanie Coin or whatever it was called.
Yeah, we wanted to do a coin.
I'm still thinking about Pod Coin or Podcast Coin or something like that.
Pod Coin.
You can use it to... You know, the use of it will be something to the effect of allowing for podcasters, advertisers, and users to have a payment model. But again, you got to go through the whole process. But we can
It all sounds like a barrier to entry problem.
Yeah, possibly. Apple is in the news. This I thought was really interesting. French prosecutors have launched a probe over allegations of planned obsolescence.
Yeah, this is a big deal in Europe.
Yeah. Under French law, it's a crime to intent, which it should be in any law, by the way, in any place. But in France, it's a crime to intentionally shorten lifespan of a product with the aim of making customers to replace it, which is something I've always thought that Microsoft did. You know, you always had to upgrade your computers. Things got slow, right? They would have stuff that would just sit in your registry, and it would get. There was no way to get rid of that.
It clogged the registry with junk.
Yeah, every time you put in a program, there's no way to undo that program under a. I mean, these days it's better, but in the old days, it was just like you
just get bigger and bigger.
Just swell. In December, Apple admitted that older iPhones were deliberately slow due to their software updates because they said that. Of course, the phone's battery performance diminished over time, and therefore what they had to do is shut it down in certain areas when performance kicked in, where performance was, or when there's a spike in required performance, and it would drain the battery and this whole thing. So they would actually do it. They may have a case here in France, I would think.
I think they have a great case. I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. So that didn't hurt, of course. You know, nothing hurts stocks these days. As a matter of fact, speaking about nothing hurting stocks, Tesla came in this week or last week with a really disappointing number in terms of their car production, the deliveries. You know, that's something that everybody looks at very closely.
The delivery. Yeah, especially the number, the three car.
Yeah, it was terrible. And then, and then there was a classified military satellite that blasted off this Sunday through SpaceX. Yeah. Total loss.
Yeah, I wonder about if this is not bull crap.
I know what you think.
Of course, you know what I think.
The rocket launched and landed. So wait a minute. What you're saying is this top secret payload known as Zuma that was top secret and classified really made it. But we don't want to tell anybody that we made it. So it's up there in a double secret kind of scenario here. So nobody really thinks it actually is up there, even though it was classified. Therefore, it's like a double secret satellite.
Well, it's supposed to be a big secret. So why would they tell us anything? And so they told us the thing crashed. Well, maybe that's a lie.
Yep.
But the problem with that thesis, and I think I'm not the only guy who thinks of this because of the nature of the satellite. The trouble is this the kind of thing that would hurt Elon Musk's reputation as for the SpaceX vehicle? They're blaming it, of course, on the Grumman satellite itself being not being able to disengage from the second stage. On the other hand, it doesn't look like it's SpaceX's fault. It's Grumman's fault, and they're used to this kind of shady dealings. And it's possible that, you know, a sweet deal was made for everyone. The people who need to know, and everybody else is it's a shame. I don't know. Just why are they talking about it at all if it's such a big secret?
Yeah, they should have talked about, I mean, besides the fact that it was a private company that was sending it up, it wasn't, the government sending it up. You know, government could be sending things up. Well, a rocket's hard to miss if it's getting blasted off within a certain radius of where you are.
This is true. What is this? Yeah.
You know what time it is, by the way?
Yep. Time to get a watch.
Time for Fed Limericks.
Uh-oh.
I think you may like this one. All
right. Okay, I hope so.
You ready? Well,
hold on a second. I probably have a copy of it here that I can read along so I can make my
evaluation. Would you like to read it?
No, I'm not going to read your limericks. I read my own limericks. Okay, I'm ready.
Here we go. The economy is running quite hot. Now Powell is stuck in a spot. To raise or to hold is the mindset of old as he ponders his secret dot plot.
Well,
am I getting any better?
I like that one. I mean, it's a little more slick than the first ones you did. I'll give it a B minus.
Ah, haven't gotten an A yet. All right, that's good.
I think I got an A for the last one.
You know, some people have like long lines. I can't pull up a full long line of things. You know, it's got to be like.
Well, if you're gonna do short, it should be all short. I mean, actually, you have it's well balanced because you have. In fact, I'll tell you what, so people don't see it. The longest lines are the first and the last. The second longest lines are the second and the fifth, or one, two, three, four, and the fourth. And the shortest line is the one in the middle. So it's actually very balanced. It's got long, medium, short, medium, long.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right. Thank you. You can find all the Fed limericks. We're going to keep them on each and every episode that we continue doing this. Of course, we also welcome your limericks if you have the desire and the time and the crazy idea to do so. Just send them on over. We'll possibly post them on the site.
Well, that's an idea and a new contest.
Yeah. Oh, the limerick, but that's a little bit more objective.
So what?
All right. Well, we could do that possibly.
The Olympics are coming up. Half of those events are subjective.
Yeah. Let's see here. You can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. You can listen to him and Adam Curry each and every Thursday and Sunday at 12 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time for the No Agenda Show, where they talk about some pretty crazy stuff. If you haven't listened to the No Agenda Show, let me say one thing. If you haven't listened to the No Agenda Show, you need to find one of those shows that they go into their alternative universe. Just for the sound effect on the process of getting there and getting out. That is hysterical.
The last show we did it.
Oh, with the woman screaming and the dog. What about the dog
barking?
that is the weirdest. It's kind of spooky, by the way. But it's kind of funny. You can donate to the show, of course. Thank you all for your donations. The ones that have donated, and for those of you who haven't, you should be shamed. Just go over to the DH and plug and do so. Because what we do with these donations, by the way, as you know, John, you saw that tweet today with the championship cup.
Yeah, it's a beauty.
Yep, that was sent out today to our winner of the closest to the pin cup for 2017. It's much bigger than it looks. It's like it's 12
that is 4 feet tall.
You know, not that big, but it's like 12 inches tall. It's a big trophy. It's a really big trophy. Yeah.
Be nice on the mantle.
Yeah, and we sent him books, and we sent him shirts, and all sorts of other stuff. So that was PJ Lethane. So you can go over and see the championship trophy that we have. Also, we kind of put it on the site. Let's see here. All right, some questions, some news that I have some questions for you on, because you have a way of enlightening me on some of these things. The question is, how does this happen? How does an Iranian oil tanker that is sailing to North Korea collide with a cargo ship off of China's coast?
They would be given, I would say, they probably had their information, their navigation information somehow scrambled. So this is not an accident. How's that? Is that possible?
I don't even understand. You have radar. You have
I know. Three Navy ships that have been dinged up in the waters.
Yeah, this one was bad. There was 32 people are missing, and it was a condensed natural gas, which I guess blew up, caught fire. There's a million barrels of natural gas condensate. I don't know. The whole thing is just I don't understand it. Uber Technologies co-founder Travis Kalanick, who was, of course, ousted as the chief because of just bad doings, is selling nearly a third of his 10% stake in the ride services company. So he only had 10% of this company as the founder.
That doesn't sound atypical for the way the venture capital world works.
Yeah, they just eat you alive.
Eat away at it.
Eat it alive. So he sold a 10% stake. A third of his 10% stake for $1.4 billion, which means that roughly he was about $4.5 billion is his value of that, which is about a $45 billion company. Yeah, it's about the right price.
Yeah, it sounds reasonable.
So he's getting out and just, at this point.
Now he's got money to burn.
Yeah, now he's got some extra play money, you know? If you're interested, by the way, and this is, I think, something that will affect you probably. Shark fin soup. I know one of your favorites, which is a Chinese delicacy and sometimes eaten on special occasions like lunar weddings or weddings and lunar year, is now illegal in Nevada.
Yeah, good.
No more shark fin soup in Nevada. It's pretty brutal how they get those fins.
It's ridiculous. It's a shame.
Yeah. We have some crackdown of guns in Washington State, and more than 1,200 people that wanted to buy guns were failed background checks. That's bad. This is also in your neck of the woods in Auburn. Is that near you? Auburn, California?
Auburn is north of Sacramento. It's about 110 miles from me. Oh.
So there's a community. There's a community there. The Homeowners Association has a new rule that they need to keep their garage doors open during the day between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. I could not for the life of me throughout the story or any way afterwards as I pondered it, come up with a reason why this would be done.
I can come up with one knowing the way homeowners associations work and the kind of, by the way, anyone who signs on to these things, these little communities that has homeowner associations, they tell you what color you can paint your house, where you can park, what you can do, what kind of fence you can put up. They're just a bunch of busybodies. And I would believe that if they demanded that, is so they can look in your garage and make sure that it's neat and tidy.
Well, or it's not being used for a business, maybe.
That's that possibly that too.
You're not,
yeah,
or you're not exactly. stowing away, or you didn't build. Yeah, a
or you're
bedroom
not turning it into an apartment,
right? So you have to keep it open. Now it seems to me also.
I don't know why they just don't do a once a year inspection,
yeah, or once every 6 months, or something like that,
yeah, or you know, kind of surprise inspection. That would do the trick without having a bunch of open garages. That's kind of asking for trouble.
I mean, what would you first of all? What would you keep in your garage if you had to keep it open all the time? Nothing. I mean, we're not going to keep anything of value.
Well, I keep probably a vehicle and a cannon.
Yeah, and. Isn't it? I mean, then you have to lock the doors inside of your house. And the whole thing is bizarre. Oh, but they say only in California or Florida. More about Florida, the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, more about California, the Golden Gate Bridge, which is, of course, the beautiful bridge, the entrance to San Francisco Bay. You know, there's nearly 1,700 suicides since the bridge opened in 1938. People throwing themselves off the bridge.
Yeah, it's a classic way to do it.
Last year, 39 people jumped from the bridge. Does anybody ever? Anybody?
They got nettings underneath.
No, now that's now. Just they're just putting up new netting.
Yeah,
but did anybody ever survive?
I've never heard of anyone surviving.
It's a long way down, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty big. I mean, it's a long. I would assume, and it's also I think it washed out to sea. But I would assume that those guys who jump off of those mountains in Acapulco, professional divers who go on feet first, I'm assuming one of them could jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and survive. So anything's possible. I'm assuming that. I don't know.
We should find out. If we have any cliff divers listening by any chance, you know, please let us know if that's something that you're willing to do.
Yeah, we can organize a dive.
Yeah, we'll do a meetup. Out there, and we'll actually do a live stream of the entire dive.
Yeah, we'll get permission, get a permit.
All right, and finally, did you know that the very last flight of a Boeing 747 took place last week that was run by a U.S. carrier?
We're not flying any 747s anymore?
Nope.
Not one U.S. carrier?
Nope. Delta was the last one. And you could find 747 still in Europe and other areas around the world, but no U.S. carriers are flying the 747 any longer.
That's a shame. Yeah. It's one of the best planes to be on ever.
Yeah, the double-decker, the bar upstairs, and all that good stuff. Nope. All right, so what is John C. Dvorak writing for his PC magazine this week?
Well, coincidentally, I'm writing about Bitcoin and other kind of...
Of course.
Other kind of coincidences that match up with the 1999.com crash.
Oh.
And I include Amazon in that with its premier, with its premium, whatever they call it, Amazon Prime.
Uh-huh.
I don't see that any different than Webvan and some of these other things or Pets.com bringing food. I mean, you can buy dog food on Amazon just like Pets.com and have it delivered for free.
Right.
If you have the your Prime membership. And I say, you know, Bitcoin, though, is about other things like that. But Bitcoin is the key. I just call it a hoax.
You think so just kind of going down the road a little bit. Now, I do think there are going to be some coins of some sort that will be possibly used for something in the future. I mean, something.
Yeah.
But a lot of these are going to go by the wayside.
Yeah.
There's 1,300 of them with a. Actually, it was
too many. It reminds me, again, I'm bringing up the Beanie Babies again.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, at the end of the day, to use that phrase, the Stife dolls are still collectible.
Pet rock.
And you can buy other things. For the price of today's Bitcoin, you can buy art that's high end. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can collect besides this. It's just a grouse column. It's pretty funny, though. I wrote it with humor.
I'm sure. All right, let's get to our weekly stock picks. By the way, you can go over to dhunplugged.com, and we really put a lot of time and effort into presenting all the different stock picks and the things that we have, the games that we play. We'll have a close to the pin coming up this week. We'll figure out what stock to put up there. And one of the things we have is an actual live updating through market hours spreadsheet with a tabbed view of all the different stocks that are currently active, those that have been closed out. And this is a game that we play. It's not anything more than that. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell a security. And of course, involves a lot of risk in this. So please, if you decide to do anything, visit with a qualified financial advisor. Do your research. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own any of the stocks that are mentioned here, and we'll duly note them in the disclosure. But you can go over to that page on the weekly stock picks over on DH Unplugged, and you can see what's going on. It's a pretty cool little feature. Only on DH Unplugged do you get this. I mean, most podcasts are not this interactive, are they?
I don't think so.
I mean, you know, you got the artwork thing going on. You got the jingle machine over at No Agenda. You got that stuff where you're getting a lot of audience participation. But most podcasts are talking at you, aren't they?
I think.
Yeah.
I can only listen to a few of them.
Yeah. I have a hard time. I tried to listen to some of these. I took a bunch of these cooking ones with me down to Cancun when I went. They were terrible. Yeah. Just terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's because if it's just the way it is, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I had a guy who on Twitter was talking about the best investment podcasts of 2017. And he referenced something in one of the conversations, because I told him, hey, you missed a couple here, namely the Disciplined Investor Show.
What about us?
Yeah, and us too. But he said, oh, and you got to listen to this one guy who's considered the godfather of investment podcasts. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. 7 years before he had a podcast, I had him on my show as a guest. And he was asking me all about how to do a podcast, how to do guest interviews. And he's the godfather of investing podcasts. What are they kidding?
Of course. No, they don't know what they're talking about. It's funny, though. I think it's hilarious.
It's
unbelievable. I kind of gave up on a lot of these recommendations because they don't really – it's almost as if they don't care enough to actually go listen to all the podcasts, because there's lists of podcasts you can get from the awards – you know, there's all these award shows, and they have all these podcasts that win stuff. And you can start there. And you can – you know, but most of the podcasts that are recommended are either repurposed public radio or public TV stuff,
right,
and just turn into a podcast. It's not really a podcast. Or it's like the New York Times one they just came out with, and it's just these guys aren't really that professional. And I think it's like the Wild West. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, the Wild West was when we started doing podcasts back in 2006,
still the same.
Seven. The difference was, though, that those were homegrown. Those were produced by not the – they weren't repurposed or professionally produced by an organization like whether it's CNN or any – I'm talking about business ones. But it was a lot of individual podcasters that were breaking into the industry through a new mechanism.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So anyway, let's take a look at the stocks that we have here. I hate to say it, but Five Below was kicked.
Hey, hold on a second. Stop again.
Yeah.
Before you finish that thought.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So this guy who became the godfather of podcast, economic podcasting, or whatever they called him, he didn't credit you with helping him at all?
Well, it was somebody else who said that this other guy was the godfather. By the way, the list that came out that this one guy put a list in his, you know, the top podcast according to him for 2017 and the episodes. It wasn't just top podcast, it was more like an episode discussion, but it had like a name of the podcast and the episodes underneath, right? But maybe there was 8 podcasts on there or so. Most of them were my guests early on. That's, you know, I mean, or I mean, I went down the list. I'm like, well, he's been on my show and my podcast is well before his.
I guess you're miffed about this.
I'm miffed. I'm a little miffed.
But I'm thinking that it's mostly, I think the thing is that you think one or two of them would credit you for helping him get started.
Never, never. I mean, people have called me the I know Adam is the podfather of all podfathers in terms of creating and popularizing.
Well, yeah, invented the mechanism.
Right. But they've called me before. I've heard in the past some people say that I'm the podfather of like investing podcasts and stuff like this and I'm business. What do they call it? I was early on. But I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, these guys, some of these guys, you know, they're like, here we go with episode number 7. That's,
right.
That's fine. Yeah, that's not a problem. But they think they're like, oh, and you know, I don't know. It's weird.
We've been doing it for 7 weeks.
Yeah, 7 whole weeks. You know,
Very hard to sustain much longer.
And when you hear them talking, how can I do this here? I wish I had a thing here.
Hi, this is Andrew Horowitz talking on the podcast.
And they got this horrible sound going on that you can't even listen to.
Okay. Anyway. Onward.
Yeah. Five Below kicked off the list, up 35%.
Ah.
Penske Automotive is still on the list. You're long
let me
that.
Get back to this thing.
Inside of the Pie is up 7%. CAR up 1%. GE actually in the green. I'm going to plot. That was, you picked that November 29th.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Barnes and Noble.
And that was a very screwball of, I did only from the purposes of somebody buying it.
Yep. Barnes and Noble got kicked. It's a good thing that got kicked because that was down even further.
I think now it's going to look like a buying opportunity. I'm going to keep an eye on that one.
All right. Discovery Communications off. Viacom still on. Roku got kicked, but you see, it was dead. Up, I think the first day that I had it
shorted and it's going down.
No, it's good. It's been closed out for a 10.5% gain. And that was a couple of weeks ago or last week. But it took one day for it to do a reversal. It went down and like 4%, and by the end of the day, it was up like 6%. So it got kicked because of the 10% rule. But then it was the next day down 5.5%. OCI Partners up 3%. That was your pick from last week on insider buying. So I have two picks this week.
Okay.
One is something I haven't done in a long time. Long, long time. And that is, and I don't like this instrument, but there's not much more we could do for the game because of the way it's structured. We can't really do options. But I'm thinking that volatility is potentially going to kick up in the markets. We're getting towards earnings season. The end of this week, we have JP Morgan and Wells Fargo. Next week is all the financials. The week after that starts the earnings season, with all the companies starting to plow in. So I'm thinking that we've seen a big run-up in the stock market. We've seen a lot of anticipation over earnings and all this. And I think there could be some volatility starting to come in. So I'm going to go with the ProShares Ultra VIX short-term VIX doubler. So that's the UVIXI. Now this is
so that means if the VIX goes up, you make money.
Yeah, exactly.
So the VIX is at what now? 10, 10 and a half?
10, I think today it closed at 10.08.
So you think if it goes up,
yeah,
it can't go much lower.
Well,
it can't go to zero. That VIX, I don't think, what's the lowest it's ever been?
Like eight.
Eight?
Eight. I think there was some time back in history, it was in the sevens or something like that, but it's been in the eights. And then it's as low as it can go. Yeah, and then it gets there and it kind of pops up. So
yeah, it's like judging wine on the 100-point scale.
Right.
They never really go below 80.
Right. So I'm thinking that this is it's a really ineffective and a terrible instrument to hold on to for a long period of time. Terrible.
This is really bad.
But for the game, maybe we'll get just a pop out of there.
Yep. Little dippity do and you're done.
Yep. And I'm thinking about shorting Eastman Kodak, which
I would like to get on this with you, but I'm not going to.
Do you think a 15% stop is enough? I mean, this thing could ramp.
It could go flying.
In either direction.
Yeah.
It was up 119% during the day. It was up another...
I think you're going to get stopped out like right away.
I'm going to go 20%. I should probably go 25 on this one, but 20% stop. All right, 20% stop. That's what I got.
So that does.
All right, what do you got?
I got one, another insider thing, this guy... And anyone, this guy doesn't really play the stocks much, and I can't really figure out what he's really up to, but he's become chairman and CEO of DPW. And it's a Milton Ault III. And Milton Ault is buying as much stocks as he can at $2 or so. The share is $1.90. And I'll go with this and a 20% stop.
It was down 17% today.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Okay, but I'm going long.
I got it. Buy long.
20% stop.
I got it. Okay. And that is symbol DPW with Thurston Howell III.
Yes, the alt.
Yeah,
alt
okay, III. Lovey. Lovey. Anything else?
No, I don't really see anything that I'm that interested in. I mean, there's a few things here and there, but no.
Okay.
But you did mention something I want to discuss real quick.
Yep.
Although we're over time. Why don't we at least think about playing options on this game?
I could possibly.
Or is it can't do it because of this spreadsheet won't work?
Well, I know the Google spreadsheet won't work, but we don't really. I use that for our discussions. It's easier for me to cut and paste that. I probably could use options on, let me think about that. I mean, I have options. I have live options. I could do that. I guess I could do that the way we have the new system set up.
Let's think about how we're going to, how we can do that. I think that would be even more fun than anything.
Yeah. We'd have to put some very wide stops on there or almost like wait for it to, you
know. Yeah. That's because they do bounce around a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll think about that.
All right.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.